Football fans, welcome into AfterBuzz TV for Sunday Night Football, the wrap-up. The season is here, Aaron Rodgers and Khalil Mack make big plays, and we have a dandy for week one between Green Bay and Chicago. We're talking about it right now.
You're tuned in to AfterBuzz TV, the ESPN of TV talk. Now, let the buzz begin.
It's a new season. And we are here to talk about not just tonight's Sunday Night Football match between the Chicago Bears and Green Bay Packers, but all the games from week one in an exciting first week of football this Sunday. What's up, Evan?
What's going on, brother? How you doing?
Good, man. It's good. We are here, so thanks for joining us. We'll be here every Sunday night talking about primarily the Sunday night game, which tonight was Green Bay and Chicago, but every week it changes, as you know. We'll talk about the whole league and get around there. The game just wrapped up, and it was quite a game to start the season for Sunday night.
Yeah, once again, Aaron Rodgers proves he is the greatest quarterback on the earth, the planet, the galaxy, the solar system, Milky Way, Crab Nebula, ever.
Yep. You got more?
That's it, man. I'm trying to think of things that are far away.
Other galaxies.
I couldn't. I was running out of astronomy puns and stuff. He's great, Michael Rippey.
That's right. Aaron Rodgers, armed with a brand new contract as the richest player in football, deservedly so. He led his team all the way back tonight.
One-legged Aaron Rodgers is still better than your two-legged quarterback any day of the week. Oh, my goodness. 20 for 29, 286 yards, 3 touchdowns, 0 picks. That boy is bad. Michael Rippey, I don't got nothing else to say, man. That's it, man. Take it away, man.
Those stats are primarily all from the second half. In fact, Chicago gets out to a huge lead in this game. Aaron Rodgers, in fact, we're going to get to it. We'll break it down shortly, play by play and kind of quarter by quarter. But it ends 24-23, Green Bay victorious. Chicago scores the first 20 points of the game.
Yeah, and they're looking pretty good, though.
I mean, they go into half 17-0. Not only do they go into half 17-0, Aaron Rodgers is hurt, has to leave the game early in the second quarter. Chicago is dominating defensively with their new addition, Khalil Mack, their young rookie linebacker, Roquan Smith. They were wreaking havoc. It looked like Green Bay had nothing going for them. And so how do we end up where we're now here at a 24-23 Green Bay victory after what we saw in that first half, where it looked like Aaron Rodgers may be out for the season at one point? He gets carted off.
Unbelievable. It's what's interesting what happens, though, with pass-rushing teams, if you hang in there, and if it's not a blowout, and if it's close, then they start getting tired. And that's all that happens. The pass rush is not as potent. That's what happened to the Falcons in the Super Bowl against the Patriots. They came out really hot. They're flying all over the place. Then all of a sudden you're like, why is Tom Brady getting more time? Why is Aaron Rodgers getting more time? Why is he able to bob and weave in the pockets? Because they're getting tired, man. They keep rushing the passer. Eventually they wear down. So if you don't hold on to that lead, things like this could happen.
So Mitchell Trubisky, the rookie quarterback last year, now in his sophomore year in Chicago, 23 of 35, 171 yards, no touchdowns through the air, no interceptions, did have a rushing touchdown. That got it started, a two-yard run in the first quarter after a 10-play, 86-yard drive, gave Chicago a 7-0 lead, followed up by then a field goal from Chicago and another touchdown, which was the Khalil Mack 27-yard interception return where he just essentially took the ball from the quarterback, which was quite a play on Khalil Mack. His second quarter was dominating.
Oh my God, man.
Chicago fans all over must be excited to have him. At the same time, I think Oakland fans already miss him.
Absolutely.
And he was only in camp for a couple days, and he's already making plays like that. Let us know if you're following us on the live chat or you're watching this during the week. Give us a comment what you think about the show. Give us 5 stars here at AfterBuzz and get at us on social media. Talk to us not just about all the SNF, but all of the football. And we'd love to enjoy and add you to the show. So that first half, I mean, it's so far leaning Chicago that even Chris Collinsworth, the announcer with Al Michaels, said maybe that Aaron Rodgers, you know, if Chicago doesn't get another, if they get another score to come out of the half, maybe Aaron Rodgers doesn't even come back in the field. It looked so dire for Green Bay. And then really, it wasn't till the fourth quarter where really Green Bay takes over. They score 21 points in that fourth quarter to erase a 23 deficit and turn that into a 24-23 victory.
Mm. And it's one of those things where it's like Chris was just thinking the worst case scenario. We just, when you see somebody get carted off, that's pretty much just the end of the night, just for, as a precaution. Mm-hmm. You know, so he was already thinking like long-term health from Aaron Rodgers since he came back from the collarbone injury. So I think it was like, I think we were all thinking the same thing. You know, if they get one more touchdown, it's just
not worth it. Aaron, just chill. Right. So we don't even know when Aaron gets carted off in the second quarter what the scenario is at play. Will we see him or will we not see him? We find out after halftime that he's going to give it a go. We learned that from sideline reporter Michelle Tafoya. Mm. And not only does he give it a go, you could tell he's hurt too. He's gimping around. But they used a really quick, short, just get it out, quick passing game in that third quarter, early fourth quarter. And it seemed to give them life. And whatever was going on in the first half totally changed late in the second half. And Green Bay, surprisingly, or not surprisingly, because Aaron Rodgers always pulls out rabbits out of hats. Last year he's had two Hail Marys that connected. We've seen it time and time again, but it always seems insurmountable. And yet somehow, even at the depths of despair, he is able to do it.
You know, feeling 51-8 in Lambeau Field.
So, question: Did not just for you, Evan, everyone out there, did Green Bay win that game or did Chicago lose that game?
Yeah, that's a win because Chicago did what you had to do to. You shut them out in the first half. They did everything they needed to do to give themselves a win. Like, they just didn't win. Like, those are those situations where you actually can be beaten. They were beaten. They're beaten by a better quarterback in Lambeau Field. Like I said, greatest quarterback ever. So don't be mad when you lose to the greatest quarterback ever by a point.
But should you be mad when you're up 20-0 in the third quarter?
Not with that guy over there. It was a miracle they were up that much. count your blessings, Chicago fans. You guys are in good hands with Mitch Trubisky. All that hating, all that doubting, he looks like he's all right, don't he? Second-year quarterback looks okay.
Surprising. Came out really hot in the game. Yeah. I wasn't too impressed in the second half, but the first half I thought he was in command, in control. He was running a little bit. He was getting the Jordan Howard, his running back, involved, Tariq Cohen. The offense looked a little adventurous. It does concern me his accuracy again tonight, 23 of 35. Not terrible tonight, but overthrowing wide receivers, not even giving them opportunity to make the play. You'd like to see him and connect on a couple of those, and I think that was the difference a little bit tonight. For rushing for Chicago, Jordan Howard had a great game, 15 for 82, but caught a bunch of passes out of the backfield, 5 for 25, not huge on the stats. And then Tariq Cohen, you know, Chicago has the new coach, Matt Nagy, comes over from Kansas City. He's their offensive coordinator, tries to use an inventive offense, and we saw some of that. Little disappointing debut for Trey Burton, world champion of the Eagles at tight end, came over a big money contract. Didn't get to see much of him tonight. He only had one catch for 15 yards. They spread it around. I think there's about 8 receivers that caught different passes. So they're getting the ball out. I think they're going to be disappointed by being up 20-3 on Green Bay. In Green Bay, Lambeau, a very difficult place to win, of course. But when you have a 23 lead, no matter where you are, no matter who you are in the fourth quarter, you got to finish the deal. You just got to close it down, especially in a division game. And it was there. I mean, Aaron was... You know Aaron Rodgers. You know he can do it. And I think what they're going to regret the most is not going for the kill shot, Chicago, and just playing in that lead and kind of a prevent. Sort of like defensively, you can play the prevent. I feel like offensively, they were just kind of wasting the time trying to get to the end of the clock. And time wore out on them, and they were down by one because Aaron Rodgers and his magic took over.
Mm-mm-mm, as he does so often. I'm telling you, man, when you get him down, when you get the boogeyman down, you got to kill him.
That's right.
That dude is a nightmare. I ain't never seen anything like it, man.
And he finishes with 286 yards, 3 touchdowns, no picks. Jamal Williams rushing 15 attempts, 47 yards, nothing great out of him. Ty Montgomery got 2 attempts for 7 yards, and then receiving the big guy, or the little guy, Randall Cobb, goes for 942 yards, the big touchdown at the end, 75 yards. Devontae Adams gets into the action, 5 for 88, and Geronimo Allison, 5 for 69. What'd you think about the little span that we saw of backup quarterback DeShone Kizer? We got to see him for a little period there. Did you think anything about that?
He was fine, but he just got overwhelmed. That's what some coaches do when they see they know a kid like DeShone. He doesn't get any first team reps. He barely gets any of that in practice. Like preseason is whatever. Then so what they do is they blitz a lot. That's just what they do. Mm-hmm. Like, they just blitz. They brought people up the middle. They brought Khalil Mack from the edge, and he was just overwhelmed. There's nothing he could do about that. That's what happens when you trust Aaron Rodgers so much that you don't develop or get a viable backup quarterback. Like, that's what happens, man. And like, there's nothing he could do. He never sees first-team reps, never sees first-team practice, never is in first-team rotation. Like, so that's what happens when you get thrown into a game with a pass rush that was actually making Aaron Rodgers look foolish in the first half. So I wasn't surprised what happened to Deshaun. I'm glad he got out there with his life, to be honest with you.
And that pass rush that you're talking about making Aaron look a little foolish, we saw Khalil Mack, who just was traded from Oakland. He comes in. He's only been in camp for probably 3-4 days this week. And he finishes with a forced fumble, an interception, return for a touchdown, and a sack. And it looks like he probably wore out by the fourth quarter, yeah, just conditioning-wise. And I think that probably helped alleviate some of the pressure on the Aaron Rodgers and Green Bay offensively. But he was tremendous.
Absolutely.
And you can only imagine, as he gets his conditioning under him, how he will improve. And that Bears defense stands to improve. I think Chicago has a good defense on their hands. They've got some offensive players. But I'd like to see some growth out of Trubisky this year. It's a tough division. I mean, they're going to have to play 2 games against Green Bay, 2 games against Minnesota, and then 2 games against Detroit. Not an easy division to be in, and a tough loss, but one that you can accept going to Lambeau Field. You didn't expect to win. You'd like to win when you're up in the second half like that, but they'll have to see them the next time they play later this year. So any final thoughts on tonight's Sunday Night Football game?
No, everything went according to plan. I just wonder, it's looking like a knee sprain. Hopefully it's not more than that. Hopefully it's not some MCL thing or anything like that. It looked like a severe knee sprain. Hopefully he's okay for week two. But when he gets that diagnosis, I wouldn't be surprised if he misses week two. It depends on the severity of the injury. That's the only thing I'm really concerned about. The league's better with great players, so I want to see Aaron Rodgers with a big year.
And Aaron Rodgers is right at the top of the list of great players in the NFL. Other games in the big week one today, anything that caught your mind you want to start over? Let's go to Baltimore, where they crushed Buffalo 47-3.
Yeah, Buffalo's a fraud, though. I knew they were going to get blown out when I knew they were starting. It's the same person they let start over top. My guy, Tyrod Taylor.
Nathan Peterman starts.
Yeah. I wasn't even going to mention that. I appreciate you, because I wasn't going to do that. I wasn't even going to listen. I wasn't going to give him press coverage. I'm sorry, but I appreciate you, Rippy, giving everybody the cold, hard facts that you want to put him out there. Peterman. I knew they were going to get blown out when he was the starter. He just is not ready. And I don't like talking about any professional athlete being bad at what they do. But as far as NFL ready, he's just not ready. That Baltimore defense is still legit. Still pretty legit. And he was overwhelmed from the start. He's like, listen, I don't care if y'all say Josh Allen wasn't ready. He's more ready.
Well, Josh Allen got some play in this game, and he also didn't look so ready. No. Baltimore rolls Buffalo 47-3. Another game in the AFC was Cincinnati 34, Indianapolis 23. The return of Andrew Luck, who looked healthy, threw the ball 53 times, completed 39, 319 yards, almost led the team back to victory, came down to the end. Cincinnati had a pick six, returned it for a touchdown, made the score look a little bit more unreachable. But Cincinnati gets a win against Indianapolis. But good to see Andrew Luck, another big-time quarterback in the league, looking better and healthy. Then the first time that I can remember this, there was a game that had multiple delays between Tennessee and Miami. Ends up being the longest game in NFL history now because of those two delays. Started at 1 p.m. Eastern. I think it ended somewhere like 8:30 or something p.m. Eastern. Pretty crazy. But the Dolphins win 27-20. Marcus Mariota injured in the game. Removed. Delanie Walker injured in the game. Gets carted off. So a bunch of injuries in this game. Any thoughts on Miami 27-20 over Tennessee?
They eked out one of those gritty games that are just a pain in the butt to play. You don't want to play those kind of games. It's week one. It's like a virtual preseason game for a lot of these starters. Everybody don't want to play preseason. Everybody want to do away with preseason. That's why there's millions of injuries week one. And everybody wonder all these pulls and these tears and these breaks and all this carting off stuff is because these guys don't get enough reps. So I just like to see people get out of week one, man, like safely. So and one of those games, like the NFL doesn't want you to do, like, they don't want to play ties all the way out, but they'll play that kind of game all the way out. It's like a head scratcher to me. You know what I mean? Like, an NFL game to me should never end in a tie. And there should be no NFL football game that should end in a tie.
Speaking of ties, we had our tie today, right? It's Pittsburgh 21, Cleveland 21. Thoughts on the whole game where Pittsburgh is up big, Cleveland comes back, both teams' chances to win the game, both missed field goals at different points in the game. Pittsburgh got to be disappointed in their outcome, and then you'd think Cleveland maybe originally thought that they didn't have a chance, then they come back, and then they're probably disappointed because they have a chance to win at the end, and then they get their field goal blocked at the end, and a rainy game, an interdivisional game that was tight, and then nobody wins. You get a tie.
See, it's a big letdown. It's a letdown for the fans. It's a letdown for the league. It's like, it's one of those things where and then they shorten the quarter now. Now it's 10 minutes.
So how does Evan resolve the tie?
You play until somebody wins.
You play another quarter.
You just play.
Okay.
That's crazy. You can talk about people getting hurt. No, listen, everybody getting hurt. Like, if you ask the players what they would want to do, to me, that's how you solve it. By a show of hands, do you want to end in a tie where that tie can end up keeping you out of the playoffs? Or do you want to play this until one of us wins and one of us loses? I believe the majority would be with me and say, let's play this out.
This is a good time to ask you guys to join us. Let us know what you think. Should they play a second quarter or even throw out their ideas to solve a tie?
Give me some.
College football, where they put it on the 25 and they go back and forth. What do you think they should do to improve the ending of the game and the outcome not being a tie? Because I agree. I think ties are kind of...
I'm not a rules master, but I just don't want a tie. Give me anything but a tie.
And oftentimes you hear the guys, they say a tie feels like a loss. It's got to feel like that. So Pittsburgh and Cleveland, 21-21. Six turnovers for Pittsburgh.
Wow.
And... just an ugly game kind of all around. Let's go to Minnesota. Minnesota 24-16 over San Francisco. Kirk Cousins era starts well in Minnesota as they get the victory. Jimmy G, first loss, 7-1 now in the career. You knew it would happen at some point. Minnesota, great defense. They turned him over a couple times. And what'd you think about this game?
My boy Kirk Cousins, man, zinging and flinging that football.
That's right.
That's all I care about. I've been wanting, literally my dream was to get Kirk Cousins away from Washington. Then that happened. Then I needed him with a solid offense and a solid defense, and then that happened. So I got my wish. Now Kirk Cousins, the era has begun. 1-0. Let's go, man.
That's right, man.
They win in a division over the Packers. They win in a division. It's over.
And next week, you're going to have Minnesota and Green Bay. Right away, get it going next week. Speaking of Washington, those Washington Redskins get a 24-6 victory versus Arizona. Adrian Peterson scores, and Washington under Alex Smith looks good for that first game.
Yes.
Sam Bradford and that Arizona new era does not look so good. Let's move on to Carolina, 16-8 over Dallas. And does Dallas miss Dez Bryant?
They miss somebody that can catch and just put fear into the corners and the safeties. If you're watching the game, there's no fear of the corners. I'm telling you, they're mad. They're locking them up man to man, like across the board. They're like, beat us. Like that's at least Dez, as much as y'all criticize Dez, at least Dez, you can't just do that with Dez. But it's interesting. It's one of those games where the Dallas defense is way better than people think it is. Apparently they can flat out get after it. 16-8.
16-8. That's right, Carolina.
That
gets that victory over Dallas. And Dez Bryant had a kind of a tweet storm during the game. He's talking about them needing him, basically. He put it out there, a bunch of tweets. If you want to read it, just follow Dez Bryant. But I would say, well, no matter what you really think about Dez, I think Dallas could have used anybody, somebody. They definitely could have used the Dez Bryant, regardless if you think he's overrated, underrated. They could have used a receiver like him today against Carolina because they didn't have enough offense. They lose 16-8. Let's go to the opposite of a defensive affair where we saw Tampa Bay upset New Orleans 48-40 in just quite a shootout. Ryan Fitzpatrick, Dirk Cutter, the coach of Tampa Bay, calling him Ryan Fitzmagic after today, puts up touchdown after touchdown, and Tampa Bay rolls New Orleans. Even though it ends 48-40, it was really a blowout.
Man, this Tampa Bay team is better than people think they are. Their defense is better. Their offense is better. DeSean Jackson still has stuff in the tank. He still can beat people over the top. It's interesting where this is why you don't act up. It's why you don't become a knucklehead, especially if you're a starting quarterback like Jameis Winston is. You got to be careful because Ryan Fitzpatrick is still – listen, I don't know, man. One day he can – I'm telling you, that dude looks like – he looks like Joe Montana sometimes. He really does. It's inexplicable. He's had like many games where he's just unbelievable. Mm-hmm. And it's one of those things where I'm like, man, you got to be careful, Jameis. I'm telling you, man, quarterbacks become expendable quicker than they think they do. And you can't just keep acting up, man. You'll lose your job to somebody like Fitz.
Yeah. I mean, if Fitzpatrick keeps going like this, I don't see how Jameis gets his job back. Ryan Fitzpatrick, 21 of 28, 417 yards, 4 touchdowns today. DeSean Jackson, 5 catches, 146 yards, 2 touchdowns. They were getting it going, and it was exciting if you saw any highlights from that one. Then let's go to another exciting game. KC, 38-28 over the Los Angeles Chargers. Tyreek Hill had quite a game.
Still can't figure him out, apparently. I guess there's no game plan for that kid, because I know they had him on the – I know they had, they probably had like a powwow.
Well, let's start with this game plan. Don't kick the ball to him.
That's already – that's ridiculous. I don't know. I just – I think – listen, I'm going to put – give the love to the punter. Maybe he was trying to get out of bounds. Maybe like the elements pushed him back in. There's no way he was like rationally trying to kick the Tyreek. There's no scouting against this guy, man.
The elements in sunny Southern California.
I'm trying, man. I'm trying to get his punter some credit, because when I watched the replay, look, he kicked it directly to him.
That's right. So, yeah, Tyreek Hill had touchdowns all across the board. I mean, 7 catches, 169 yards, 2 touchdowns. Patrick Mahomes in his debut as the quarterback of the Kansas City Chiefs, 15 of 27, 4 touchdowns. They had some gadgets plays, and they looked really good. The Los Angeles Chargers had kicking issues. The same thing, different season. Phillip Rivers trying to bring him back, and his receivers dropping passes. They get close, but then they lose. It's 38-28, Kansas City, who is a team that I'm looking for to do big things. I like what I saw out of Patrick Mahomes today and that Kansas City offense. More to come. A fun game was down in New York, where Jacksonville beat the Giants 20-15, but we got to see the debut of second overall pick Saquon Barkley in that offense for the Giants, with Odell returning from injury. And what'd you think about that? Saquon had a nice touchdown run, looked good. The Jaguars defense, obviously, top level. I wouldn't say shut down Odell, because Odell had his, he caught his yards, and
11 catches,
and he was there. I mean, he was playing, and you know, the Giants had a chance to win, come up a little bit short by that Jaguars defense making a play. What'd you think there?
I thought it was pretty good. Saquon was grinding for a while. They had him pretty locked up. When you can break one loose against Jacksonville, you're doing pretty well. This literally is his first real game. Like I said, preseason is adorable, but this is the real game. And that Jacksonville defense and that team is still good. The Giants still can't find ways to score, even with OBJ.
Yeah, you got to score more than 15
points. You just have to. And the thing is, like I said, Jacksonville is still the real deal, man. They are. They're still going to be a pain in the butt.
I mean, and Jacksonville wins with their defense. Leonard Fournette, the running back, was hurt in the second quarter of this game and missed the rest of the game with a hamstring issue. Something to watch and monitor.
Preseason. See what I'm saying?
Uh-huh.
Like a preseason. Hamstring pull? Like,
another player returning from a massive injury at quarterback, Deshaun Watson for the Houston Texans, made his season debut in New England, where the Patriots win 27-20. Rob Gronkowski looked incredible. The Pats offense looked like they always do. And then on the flip side, Deshaun Watson, you could tell that either he hasn't had enough reps coming back, but he didn't look like that style, that amazing playmaker that he was when we saw him last season for the 8 or 9 games. I think it was 7 or 8 games. I think that will come back, but today he looked off.
Yeah, the league catches up with you. Bill Belichick spends hours and hours and hours like analyzing games, especially when he put up that great performance last year against the Patriots.
Wasn't going to let him do it again.
Yeah, he just wasn't. He won't let you do it. He just will not. So like, and it still was an amazingly close game. They still had a chance at the end, just ran out of time. It's good to see the young man have a little bumps and bruises, man. You can't just always have success. In the league, you want to be humbled and then you want to adjust. And so I think, and he's a great young man, so this is going to be a good learning experience. Week 2 will be awesome to see how he responds.
And finally, we finish up with the Denver Broncos, 27-24 under Case Keenum, beating the Seahawks. Case Keenum, nice day through the air, got his receivers involved. Emmanuel Sanders had a really good day. Demaryius Thomas with a touchdown reception, and Case Keenum goes for 329 yards through the air, 3 touchdowns in his debut as the Denver Broncos quarterback.
It's a great week for football to see people's moves actually working out. Like, I don't want the storyline to be, well, so-and-so shouldn't have traded this person. This has all been working out. It's the Case Keenum, Kirk Cousins, Alex Smith, Mahomes. Like, this is like working out for teams. You know what I mean? So it's good to see all the teams being like happy with the moves they made. You know, right. Khalil Mack going to Chicago. It's looking pretty good. We'll see what happens with Oakland tomorrow.
So tomorrow, that's right, if you're here now, you know that tomorrow, Monday Night Football, it's actually a doubleheader in Week 1, where we'll start with the Detroit Lions and the New York Jets, and then followed by the Los Angeles Rams against the Oakland Raiders. And John Gruden will return to the sidelines for the Raiders. That should be something to look forward to. What'd you think about week one of the NFL action in general?
It was awesome for the games that I caught and the things that I watched. Like I said, it was just, I hate the injuries. I always hate when, you know, great players get injured. It kind of skews and puts asterisks besides people's careers and the records and stuff like that. But I loved it.
Anything surprise you or any team surprise you? I think I'd have to say obviously Tampa Bay, right?
They're way better than I thought they were. Like, it's not even about the quarterback play. Like, that team is, man, they're talking about New Orleans going to the Super Bowl. Like, that's a Super Bowl favorite team. And I'm sure they still are, but Tampa Bay put it on them.
They did.
Like, this stuff, or New Orleans, it was garbage time. That's garbage time, like, coming back desperation stuff. Yeah. Like, Tampa Bay, man, good Lord. That offense and that defense? Excuse me. I'm sorry. I apologize. I didn't know I was that stout the defense-wise. I wasn't paying attention. It's Tampa Bay, you know.
That's definitely the surprise. Let us know what you guys think. What was your surprise for week one? Let us know social media. Let us know in the comments. What kind of segments would you like to see moving forward on this? So week two of Sunday Night Football, it gets serious quick for these teams, too. It's an NFC East battle where Dallas and the Giants, two bitter rivals, will take, they'll match up next Sunday night at Jerry World in Dallas. And both teams losing today, 0-1, makes next week's game even more important. You don't want to go 0-2.
No. Dallas wins that game, though.
We're taking Dallas?
Calling it already.
All right.
Y'all heard it here first, because I'll be here next Sunday if I'm wrong.
So Evan is taking Dallas
next
Sunday night to beat the Giants.
Yeah, man, that defense is stout. Have fun. Woo, that front seven. Woo. My bad, Dallas. I apologize to you and Tampa Bay. I didn't know y'all was still rolling like that. They was getting after Cam, man. Jeez. I'm sorry.
Do you think it's going to be low scoring?
I don't know, but I know Schefter. He's never wrong about anything. He's like a sage. So you're talking about Gregory being suspended? That's probably going to happen. If Schefter speaks it into the universe, hide, because he's always right. If he mentions your name negatively, you will be suspended.
And I guess storylines that we're looking forward to after week one going forward, we have to see what happens with Aaron Rodgers and is he injured more seriously than just a severe knee sprain or something he can play through. Will he miss time? Not just are we talking about Aaron Rodgers? Well, we could be talking about Leonard Fournette. We could be talking about it looked bad for Delanie Walker in Tennessee, and then also Marcus Mariota. So we need to see some of these injuries, what happens with these teams.
Especially with A-Rodge, because he's going against Minnesota, and they can get after you. And that's the team that put him out. So we all know there is a lot of stuff going on there. That's in the back of Aaron Rodgers' mind, no matter how fearless he is. That's in the back of his mind, that collarbone break. And so we'll see. Like I said, if he's not ready to go, they won't start him.
That's right. So next week, Green Bay stays home at Lambeau, and they will take on their division rival, the Minnesota Vikings, come in with your boy Kirk Cousins.
That's my man right there, Kirk.
That's right. And then on the flip side, the Chicago Bears play another primetime game. Surprising, they'll start two games in a row primetime. But they'll be home next Monday night to take on the Seattle Seahawks.
That's a very interesting matchup.
Mm-hmm. So it'll be Seattle at Chicago next Monday night, and it'll be Minnesota traveling to Green Bay. If you are a fan of either of those teams and watching tonight's Sunday Night Football, that's where your team will play next week. But on Sunday night for us, we will have Dallas and the Giants, and we'll be recapping that and the whole week that has happened in week two. Where can they catch you on social media?
Oh, Evan T. Mac, Instagram and Twitter.
And you can catch me on social media at Mike Rips, MikeRips. My name is Mike Rippey, and we will be back next Sunday night. We're always down to talk football with us, so join us on social media, join us in the comments and the live chat, and we'll see you next Sunday night.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.